We begin the current daf Maseches Baba Kama daf Nun Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf Nun Vav Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion that was started on the previous daf. That is, the machlekes between Rabbah and Rav Yosef regarding what's the halacha of a shomer aveda. We know that there's generally four shomer mentioned in the Torah: shomer chinam, someone that watches something for free, is only liable for negligence, for pshia; shomer sachar, which he gets paid to watch, there he's going to be chayv even on gneiv aveda, even if it gets stolen or theft. There's a machlekes regarding a seicher, a guy who is renting, if it's like a shomer chinam or like a shomer sacher. And then there's a shayel, who's someone that's borrowing, he has all benefits, and I'm paying for the object, and he's using it, so there he's going to be chayv even on eitz, and even on things which are beyond his control, regarding if the animal's foot broke or if it dies. Now, what's halacha regarding a shomer aveda? Someone found the lost object, he has to return it, doesn't know whose it is, so he's watching it in the meantime. What's his halachic status? Rabbi says like a shomer chinam, and Rav Yosef says like a shomer sacher, as we explained on the previous daf, two reasons for Rav Yosef's opinion. Now that the Gemara continues and says Simon and Mnemonic to recall the different proofs that the Gemara is going to bring either way to Rabbi or to Rav Yosef, are Hechzira, he returned it, La'olam forever, Hashev, returning, Chia, Rav Chia, Amarta, you said, Nishba, broken, Secher, a renter. So the Gemara says, Isver Rav Yosef the Rabbi. First one to ask is Rav Yosef asking on Rabbah. Rabbah said that a Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Chinam. So he asked him from the following Braisa. As a continuous type of Nizayin Medav, the Braisa says, Chzira, if the one who found the lost object returns it, Lamokim Shirena, to a place where the owner could see it, then in a Chayv L'Tapalba, then he doesn't have to deal with it anymore. Meaning he found someone's ball, and he doesn't want to return it all the way. He puts it where the owner is definitely going to see it, so that he fulfilled his obligation in returning the lost object, and then he's exempt from responsibility. This continues the Braisa, Nignava Oyavda, if it gets stolen or lost, Chayiv Bachru Yusa. So he's liable for responsibility. Now, that obviously would sound contradictory to what it just said. It said you put it back where he could see it, you're totally exempt. Then it says if it gets stolen or gets lost, he's responsible. So therefore says the Gemara, my nignava yavda. What does the Braisa mean when it says that he's liable for when it gets stolen or lost? Says Rav Yosef, lav nignava mi beisa yva avda mi beisa. Isn't it talking about not where he put it, because there he's exempt, meaning from his house. If it gets stolen or lost from his house, it is going to be chayiv, meaning from the one who finds its house. Which obviously that proves, because Allah is, like we said, a shomer chinam, is exempt from a gneiv aveda. Whereas a shomer sacher, as the Gemara tells him about Metziyat Daf Tzadi Dalet, is chayiv. So obviously from the fact that we say he's going to be chayiv by gneiv aveda is because we treat him like a shomer sacher, says Rabbi Yosef, not like your rabbi. So the Gemara says, no. Mimakim sheher zira. It's actually from the place from where he returned it to. And even Rabbah, who holds that he's like a shomer chinam, would hold, yes, that you're going to be chayiv, because he's negligent. Now, that the Gemara asks right away, but Vogatani, you just said in the previous line, ein chayiv l'tabba, it said that even if you turn it just to where he'll see it, then you're going to be exempt. So how can the Gemara explain for Rabbah that it's talking about, no, not from his house, because Gnei Vaveda is exempt. Somehow if it gets stolen or lost from where he returned it to, why? He's a shomer chinam. Shomer chinam is never chayiv Gnei Vaveda. That Amalei, that's what Rabbi says. Now, Hochamay Skinner, what we're talking about over here in this Braisa is, Kukan Shechzir Batzarayim. If he returns it in the afternoon. Vitarti Ketani. Now, there's two different halachas, says Rabbi, that are being explained in this Braisa. Vachik Tani, and this is what the Braisa is talking about. It's talking about one case, but two different timings. Hechzir Shachris Lamakim Shirena. If he returns it to a place where he sees it in the morning, so it's common that people come in and out of their houses and they'll see it because in the morning people are in their house. So that's what the Braisa says. So then he doesn't have to deal with it anymore. He's totally exempt. He already gave it back to him because the guy will see it when he walks out his door. But the Sefer was talking about, even though Shomer Chinam, like Rabbah, but if you put it back to a place where the guy will see it in the afternoon, where it's not common for someone, the homeowner, to be walking in and out, because in the afternoon, people are out in the fields doing their work. They're not home. Where he's not going to see it. And in such a case where it gets stolen or lost, he'll actually be liable for the responsibility, because although Shomer Aveda, Rabbi says, is always like a Shomer Chinam, who is exempt of Gnei Aveda, this Gnei Aveda is considered a negligence. Because it's not in your house. You're leaving it out in the open where, yes, in the morning he would see it, and therefore it's like you returned it. But in the afternoon, no one's around. So it's leaving it ripe for thieves and for it to get lost. And therefore that Gneva Veda is like a negligence on the part of the Shomer Aveda, and therefore even like Rabbah, who says like a Shomer Chinam, would be Chayiv because you put it in the afternoon where the homeowner is not around, and therefore he's not going to see it. So Gemara continues asking, Eisebe, Rav Yisuf asked to Rabbah from that Braisa. The Braisa says, L'oilam hu Chayiv, meaning, which seemingly is going on this halacha of Gneva Aveda, that the one who finds the lost object will always be liable, Ad Shechizrenu L'shusa, until he returns it to the domain of the owner who it was lost from. Says Rav Yosef, my la'ilam. What does it mean for in always, in all situations? Lava fila, isn't it talking about that even if the one who found it left it, mi beisai, that it was taken and it was lost from his own house, which is that we see that the one who finds it is going to be liable. Gneva v'anveda, shema menu k'shem mesacha davi. Obviously, we treat him like a shem mesacha. So Amalei's Rabbi says, you're right. Obviously, it's going back in the case of Gneva Aveda and says he's always going to be chayiv, even in his own house, until it's returned to the owner. But Rabbi says, Medina lach, I agree to you, by a lost object, bebali chayim, by a living animal, where there, yes, the one who finds it will be chayiv on Gneva Aveda. But not because, like you say, that we treat a shemer Aveda like a shemer sachar, because as the Gemara explained in the previous daf, one of the reasons is because he's doing the mitzvah, which the Torah required, and therefore gave him a higher standard level of a shomer. No, it's because by a living animal, when it gets stolen or lost from his house, it's considered like a negligence, and therefore it could still be like Rabbah, who considers him like a shomer chinam. Why? Since this animal is already accustomed, as we've seen, to be walking off on its own, that's how it got lost in the first place. So therefore, this animal needs an extra level of watching, and therefore, even the Shem Echinim, who's watching for free, would be liable, because a negligence in this type of an animal is a regular Gneva Veda. But says Rabbah, but a regular guy who watches a lost object of a regular movable item, like a ball, would be exempt on Gneva Veda. Here, with the Bryce is telling you that you are going to be chayav Gneva Veda, is because it's talking about an animal which has already been walking away, which, yes, when it gets stolen or lost, it's like a pshia on the part of the Shemra Veda. Therefore, it's not difficult on Rabbah. Now, the Gemara asked the other way around. Esav Rabbah the Rav Yosef. Rabbah asked Rav Yosef from the following Bryce. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Hashav, this is regarding someone who finds a lost object, he should return it. Now, that sounds like a full-fledged returning. So, I would only know that it's considered returned, but you brought it into the guy's house who it's lost from. Says the Braisa, how do we know that it would be considered returned, even if the guy who returns it puts it just into the garden or to the dilapidated building that the guy has that's from the owner's domain? How do you know that would be considered as if you returned it? That's what it says, a double terminology, Hashiv Teshivim. That the extra returning is Mekal Makam, whatever type of returning, even if it's not in his house. As long as it's in his garden, something that's owned by him, that's considered like you returned it to him. Now, says Rabbah, Maile Ginasu L'Chavasa. What does the Braisa mean here when it says it's enough to return it to his garden or to his Churva? Ilem L'Ginasa Meshtameres. If you say it means to his garden that's protected, U'L'Churvasa Meshtameres, or his dilapidated building that's protected, well, Hainu Beisa. Well, then that's his house. Meaning, why would I think that's not enough? What makes a house more significant than a garden? It's just a level of protection that people have on their house versus the garden. But if the garden is protected, it's the same thing. I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell you. Elipshita rather says, Rab, it's obvious. Leginase she'ene mishtemes. The Bryce is including from the extra word teshivim that even the garden that's not so protected, lucharvase she'ene mishtemes, or this dilapidated building that's not protected. So Shema Minah says, Rabbah, obviously you see from the Braisa that Keshrei Mechinam Dami, that obviously we treat a Shemir Aveda like a Shemir Mechinam, which is a lower level Shemira, that he could do what's called a Shemir Pechusa, just a lowest level type of a watching, which is, okay, I put it back in your domain. Now, it's not a protected area, but for a Shemir Mechinam, that's considered enough that I did my job. But a Shemir Sach, who has a higher level, he wouldn't be exempt putting it to a Gina that's not Mishtemeres. So obviously, says Rabbi Trav Yosef, that the halacha of a Shem Aved is like a Shem Echinim, like me, not like you, that it's a Shem Esachar. So Amalei Rav Yosef said to Rabbi, no. La'ilam l'ginase ha-mishtameres u'l'chavase ha-mishtameres. Truthfully is, you're right. I hold the Shem Esachar, higher level standard of Shemira, and you're right. What's being included for the word teshivim is to a garden that's protected and to a chorba that's protected. Now, or the kakash alach ha'inu beis, another question that you had asked was, well, then that's the same as a house. Why would I need an extra pasuk to include that? That says Rabbi Yosef, Hakam Ashmalon. No, this is the Chiddush that the Brice is teaching. That you don't need, regarding Hashavas Aveda, the knowledge and the awareness of the owner that it was returned to him. Could the Rebbe Lazar like Rebbe Lazar? Because the Amr Rebbe Lazar said, "Hakol shrichan das bailam." In general, the need it requires the awareness of the owner. So, for example, let's say someone stole or robbed or one of the four types of shomer that returns it to the owner. He has to notify the owner, and if he doesn't notify him, it's still going to be the responsibility and the liability of the one who's returning it until he notifies the owner. Then the owner takes over the responsibility. Chutz me'ashavas aveda, except when someone's returning a lost object. Because the Torah included many returns, even a return that does not have the awareness of the owner is considered returned, which is an exception. That's what we're learning from the extra word Tashiv, but not like Rabbi tried proving that it must mean Kina She'en Mishtameres, which would make it sound like a Shemachinim. No, it's a Kina Mishtameres. So what's the Chiddush? It's protected. A house is protected, this is protected. No, the difference is a house, the guy knows, he sees it in his house. A garden, he might not necessarily know. That's the chiddush that even if he doesn't know, you don't need to have das bailim for the halacha of hashavas aveda. But the Gemara continues asking Rabbi Yosef. Amalei Abayi Rabbi Yosef. Abayi said to Rabbi Yosef, "Va'atlei tizbra the shem aveda k'shem echinim dami." Don't you think it's logical, like Rabbi said, that someone that watches a lost object is like a shem echinim that watches for free, and that is not chayv on gneva aveda? But va'omer Reb Chiya bar Abba omer Reb Yochanan hatoyin tainas ganav ba'aveda. If someone makes a claim of theft by a lost object that he's watching, in other words, the guy found a lost object. Now the guy says, "I heard that you found my lost object." So the guy wants to exempt himself through a claim of theft, which is that he claims, "You're right, I found your ball, I found your thing, and I had it by me, but it was stolen from me." And then what ends up actually happening is that they find out that he was lying. He found the object, and he really still had it. He just didn't want to give it back to the guy, and therefore he made a lie by saying that it was stolen from him. Says Rabbi Yochanan, "Misham tashlumi kefil." Now, this guy who tried getting out of having to give back this lost object by a claim of saying that it was stolen, he has to pay double, not just the principal that he has to give back to the real owner, he has to give even double like a thief. Which the Gemara later on in Perek Merubah Dav Samach Gimel Beis says, the pasuk says v'im lo yimotzei haganav, which literally is translated as if they don't find the thief. But the Gemara there explains that the way you darshan the pasuk is im lo yimotzei, if you don't find it to be like he had said, rather he himself was haganav, he himself was the thief, and then the pasuk says yisham shnayim, he has to pay double. So halacha is not only does a regular ganav have to pay when we find out that he really was lying and he really did steal it, to pay kefil, even someone that was watching something and he made a claim that it was stolen from him and we find out that no, he really had it, what's called tain tain is ganav, he also has to pay kefil. Now, so therefore, the question that Abai is asking Rabbi Yosef is that if you say that a shemer aveda, someone who watched a lost object is like a shemer chinam, so therefore we could understand why his claim that it was stolen from him would mandate that he would, now that we find that he was lying, to have to pay kefil. Why? Because he was trying to exempt himself with a claim of theft. Because a shemer chinam, if you hold like Rabba, by a shemer aveda, is exempt on gneva aveda. So he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, it was stolen from me." "Oh, you were trying to get out of it. That's where the knas comes in. You were lying. You're trying to get away from it. Now you're going to have to pay double because we find that you really do have it." But says Abai Rabbi Yosef, "V'isal g'taytech shemer socha have it." But if you entertain, like you say, that a shemer aveda is like someone that's a shemer socha, so amay mesham tashlumi kefil, why does he pay double when he claims that it was stolen from him? Karna bayishlumi, he has to pay the principal. In other words, originally when he said it was stolen from me, he wasn't trying to exempt himself. A shemer sachar has to pay for v'gneva aveda. And you say a shemer aveda is a shemer sachar. So why when he makes a claim of gneva, is that as if, "Oh, you tried getting out of it, you tried lying, you're going to pay double now." What are we trying getting out of it? I'm a shemer sachar. I pay for v'gneva aveda. So where does it come in? Tain tain is gone by shemer aveda to pay kefil. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers to Abaya, and this is going to be the focus on Amud Beis. Hachamai Skinny says, "What are we talking about over here in this halach of Rabbi Yechanan? Is kagoyin shetoyin tainis listim mezuyin." The claim that he said it was stolen from him wasn't just from any simple robber, any simple thief. It actually was thieves that are armed bandits that forcibly took it away from him, which he wants to exempt himself, even as a shemer sachar, because of a claim of oynis. It wasn't just stolen from me. It was forcibly taken from me. It was an oynis. It was nothing I could have done. These guys would have shot in 1 second. So that is why he was trying to exempt himself by saying that it was a geneva, because really that geneva is an oynis, and not even a shemesacha, which is what Rabbi Yosef holds a shemaveda is, would have been exempt. So on that, Amalei Sabai says back to Rabbi Yosef, "List a mezuyin? armed bandits? Gazlan hu. He's not a thief. He is a robber. In other words, the difference between the Ganav and the Gazlan is the Ganav does it stealthily, hiding, steals. Similar to Aveda, where it just gets lost. But Aveda is by itself, and Ganavis, a Ganav does it. But a Gazlan is someone that walks right up and grabs it away and takes it away. So as Abayim, when this guy is making a claim, which is saying, okay, how could Hashem Mesachar, which is what Rav Yisrael holds, Hashem Aved is be exempting himself by saying a taina of ganav, is a taina of an oinus, which is by saying that it was forcibly taken from me. Now the problem is, the halacha of kefil was only said in the case of taina's ganav, because the pasuk writes, v'gunav mi beis ish, not v'guzel, v'gunav, has to be stolen. Problem is, list of mezuyin come right up and say, give me your money or I'm going to shoot you. So therefore, that's a gazlan, not a ganav. How can you say that there's going to be the liability of kefil, that because he was trying to get himself out, what you're saying is a case of list of mezuyin, which is a case of einus, which is what, when he walks up with a gun, what's then? That's not a ganav, that's a gazlan. So how are you saying there's going to be chayav a kefil, which is only by ganav or tain tain is ganav, not tain tain is gazlan? So Amalei Rav Yisrael says, Sha'ani Omer, I say, list of mezuyin, armed bandits, since they hide from people, ganavu, that he is like a ganav and not like a gazlan. A gazlan just walks right up and says, give it to me. Armed bandits, they do it stealthily, they hide from people, but when they come with a gun. That's why there's a liability for kefil by list of mezuyin, and also someone that tries exempting himself with a claim of list of mezuyin. So either when armed bandits come up themselves in their court later, they deny they have to pay kefil, or someone claims it was list of mezuyin. Now, regarding the liability, the Shem Rezach is not going to be chayiv if it's true that armed bandits took it from him, and that's what he's trying to claim, because that's a case of an einus. But although it's a case of an einus, it still will fit into the category of toy and tainas ganav, because ultimately they're like ganavim in that they hide, and that's why you could have that on the one hand, he was trying to exempt himself, and therefore he would be liable for trying to exempt himself by a claim of toy and tainas ganav, and it is a case of ganeva, even though in halacha for him it's an einus, because they try hiding themselves, and that's why it would be apropos for, like Rabbi Yechon said, for him to have to pay kefil for this tain tainus list of mezuyin. Now, it's on this characterization of Rabbi Yisuf that he compares a list of mezuyin to a ganav, and that's why, to explain this halacha of Rabbi Yechon, and that he's going to be chay for tain tainus ganav, on that the Gemara asked him for the following brisa. As we continue to Amud Beis, which Rashi says it doesn't know where this brisa was said in what context, but the brisa is saying the following contrast. Like, no. Im amarta b'shrei mechinim, if you say this halacha would apply to a shrei mechinim, someone that's watching for free, shekei mishalm teshlumi kefil. Yeah, maybe that stringency applies by a shrei mechinim, because we see there's certain stringency by a shrei mechinim that he has to pay the penalty of kefil. How so? Because if he denies that it was his negligence, he says it was stolen or lost, and then we find that he was lying, then he's going to have to pay kefil. But how can you say regarding someone that's getting paid to watch, he never has the stringency of paying kefil, because if he says it was stolen or lost, then he has to pay for it, the principal. So the whole halacha of Tain Tanis Ganav doesn't apply by the Shemesacha to ever have the liability of kefil, which is actually a stringency that only applies to Shemechinim and not Beshemesacha. On that aspect, Gemara Rabbi Yosef, the Isa Gedaitik list of Mizuin Ganavu, if you're entertained like Rabbi Yosef just said, that armed bandits they fit into the category of Ganav, and therefore so too for Tain Tainus Ganav, like Rabbi Yosef said, so Nimsa comes out Beshem Mesachar Misham Tashlumi Kefil, that you could have a case of Beshem Mesachar paying double the penalty of Kefil, but Tain Tainus list of Mizuin, when he claims that it was taken from him by armed bandits, which again, he would be trying to exempt himself because it's like an oinus, and yet it would fit into the category of Tain Tainus Ganav. So how could the Brisa say that halach of Kefil only applies by Shem Mechinim, not by Shem Mesachar? So Amalei Rav Yisrael says, so the question is, Nahachikama. This is what the Brisa is saying. Loi, no. Im amarta b'Shem Mechinim, if you say the halach applies the stringency by Shem Mechinim, shekei misham tashlumi Kefil b'chol ta'noisav, who he pays the penalty of Kefil by all his claims. In other words, no matter what claim he makes, that it was stolen from him, whether by armed or unarmed bandits, because Hashem Echinim is exempt from any Gneiv Aveda, therefore when we find that he was lying, he has to pay kefil. And that was what the Braisa was contrasting and saying, Taimim b'Shem Mesachar, but who said we'll say by Shem Mesachar, She'ein misham tashlumi kefil, he does not pay the penalty of kefil, for example, when he makes a claim that it was stolen from him by unarmed bandits, because even if we find it by his, that it's still by him, because originally that's not going to exempt him from paying the principal. It's actually making him liable to pay. Ella, but Toyin Tainis listed Mizum, the only case you have by Shemesachim that he would pay the penalty of Kefal is when he would be claiming that it was stolen from him by armed bandits. That is a stringency that Shemachim has over Shemesachim, although yes, there is such a case, but the overwhelming majority of the cases would not apply to Shemesachim. That's a stringency Shemachim has over Shemesachim. Esavay, on that, Abai continues asking on Rav Yosef on this correlation of listed Mizum to Aganev from the following Braisa. The Pasuk says in Shemais, it says in Perek HaBeis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'chiyishal ish me'imre'ehu, that if someone will borrow something from his friend, an animal, v'nishbar oimeis, and then the animal will break a leg, or if it will die, so the Pasuk, they conclude, Sham Yisham, the Shoyal has to pay for even the case of oinis that happened to the animal that he borrowed. Says the Braisa, ainly, I wouldn't know that the Shoyal, the borrower, would be liable, elishvura mesa. Only for like the cases that it mentions there in the Pasuk, which is if the animal breaks a leg or if it dies, which they're cases of einus, beyond his control. And the reason why he's highest for the highest level of responsibility, even though it's einus, is because it's all gain for him. But Gineva Vaveda Minayin, how do you know that the shell is liable even for when it's stolen or lost? On that, the Bryce says, Amrit Kavochemi, you would say it's a Kavochemer. Because Umash Shemer Sacher, because if regarding the lower level Shemer, a Shemer Sacher who is getting paid to watch, Pater by Shiburu Umesa, where he's exempt from Einsen, if the animal breaks a leg or if it dies, because there the Pasuk says, there's four different parashas there in Shemais to talk about the four types of Shemrim. It says by the case of the Shemir Sachar, Umes, the animal dies, or Nishbor breaks a leg, or Nishbor is taken in captivity. It says after that, Shiburu Sashem to Yibish Naim, he gets to swear and he's exempt, he's off the hook. And still, Chai Beginev Aveda, so by Shemir Sachar, who is exempt on Einis, he's liable if it gets stolen or if it gets lost, because it says over there, I'm going to be gunav, that he's liable. So Shoyos, regarding a borrower, Shechai B'Shavur Meisu, who's liable even for Einstein beyond his control, Ein Adin Shechai B'Gnei Aveda, isn't it a Kavochema that he's going to be liable for something lesser, which is more of a negligence when it gets stolen and gets lost? Says the price of Ezeo Kavochema She'en Lab Tshuva. And this, a Kavochema has no response because totally it's a landslide. Shoyal has all the stringencies in contrast to Hashem Esachar. Now, on that, the Gemara asked on Rav Yosef. Visa gedai tech listen mezuin ganav, if you would entertain to say, like Rav Yosef says, that the armed bandits are cases of ganav, amai eno lav tshuva, why is there no response to that kavochemer that the Brice is saying? Ikele mifuch, you could ask that it's not a total kavochemer, because you could say, mala shemesacher, because we do find the stringency by shemesacher over shayel. Shekei mishalm tashlumi kefil betoyin tainis listen mezuin, because there is a case, albeit a very uncommon one, but you could have a case, where the Shemir Sachar is claiming that it was stolen from him by armed bandits, where then if we find that he was lying and it was really by him, he would pay kefal. In contrast to a borrower that never, ever has a case of kefal, because he's liable in every situation, even by einsin, as the Pasuk says, v'nishbari meis. And therefore, even if he claims it was stolen from him from armed bandits, it doesn't make a difference. That would make him liable for the principal. And therefore, here you have a case that you have that by a shayel that if since he can never have a case of where he's trying to exempt himself, that the Karen was stolen from him, he'll never have a case of being liable for the penalty when we find that he was lying, that there really was by him to pay kefal. So why, according to Rav Yosef, is it ain't of tshuva? There is a tshuva. It has a stringency of kefal versus shayel. So Malay, so and that Rav Yosef responds, Ksavar Haitana, the Tana of this price of the Nishbar Yemes, in contrast to the previous price that we quoted on the top of the Amid, holds that karna b'lei shvua, the response, the liability of paying principal even without swearing, adifa mikfele b'shvua, is better, is more stringent than having to pay double, but only through the medium of making an oath. In other words, a shayel is better, and therefore it was einul of tshuva. There's definitely a kavochemer for the liability of shayel for gneva veda from Shemir Sachar, because there he's always liable even for einsin without even having to swear falsely. In contrast to Hashem HaSachar, who is exempt by Einzin. Now, although by Hashem HaSachar we said, wait a second, there's a stringency, he has to pay kefal when he makes a claim of Toyin Tainus List of Mizuyin, and that says, Rav Yosef, that's not a stringency according to the Tanna of this Braisa. Because kefal does not apply by Shemrin until there's first that he swears falsely that was stolen from him. And then witnesses come and say that it's not true, it's still by you, as the Gemara explains later on Perek Merubah, Dav Samachim Lama Beis. And therefore, as Rashi says it, really, it's just a penalty for the false oath oath that the Torah is making him liable for the halacha of kevel, but nothing intrinsic to the responsibility of geneva and aveda and oitzin, and therefore, in all cases, a shoyl is going to be more stringent than the halacha of a shemir sachem, because although there is a case of kevel, but that's only through the shvua. It's really stringency of a liability of a shvua, not really regarding the halacha of the shemir per se, because the tana the bris holds is more stringent, the liability of always paying for the keren, which the shayl has in all situations, then kefil only through a shvua, which doesn't make it more stringent that it has kefil. That's only because it can exempt himself, in contrast to a shayl that can never exempt himself. So now the Gemara actually says, lim misayele. Let's bring from the following bris that actually to support Rav Yosef's presumption in this, that list of mezuin is like a ganav. Because the bris says as follows. Haseicha par mechaver v'nignevav. Someone rents a cow from his friend, and it gets stolen from him. The Amr halah. Now the renter says, "Look, hareini misham. I'm going to pay up to you. Ve'ein nishba, and I'm not going to swear. In other words, had I wanted, I could have sworn that it was stolen from me, and I'd be exempt. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to swear. I'll just pay up." Now va'achkech nimtza ganav. Actually, later it turns out it really was true. He decided not to swear. He paid up, but it really finds out they find the thief who had stolen the cow. Says the Braisa, Misham Tashlumi Kefil L'Seicher. So the payment of the Kefil, which the Ganav has to pay, doesn't go to the original owner, because the renter already paid the amount of the cow to the original owner. So it turns out that he owned the thing that was stolen already, because he paid for it. So therefore, the animal and the Kefil goes to the renter, not to the original owner. So says the Gemara, Savrua, the Rabbanan who wanted a support from this Braisa to Rabbi Yosef, they had assumed, they thought, that Rabbi Yehuda, that this Brais is going like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amad that he says, Seicher Kenoisi Sacher Dami, that a renter has the halacha like a Shemir Sacher, which is a discussion in Bab Metzid of Tzamegimel Met Alv, where therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a Shemir Sacher is generally liable for Geneva. Now, Umediktani, from the fact that the Brais has said, Vamar that he says, the renter says, look, you know what? I know it's stolen from me, but I'm not interested in taking an oath, a very severe thing. Harein Mishalim Be'ein Nishba, I'm going to pay and I'm not going to swear. Now, so said the Rabbanan, Mechlal, the inference is, the Bayi, but the had he wanted, Patalei Nafshe B'Shvur, that he could have exempted himself with an oath. Now the question is, Hei Chidami, how could he be exempted himself with an oath? What do you mean? He is Chayvin in Geneva, so what are you saying? I'm swearing it's stolen from me? Go ahead. So great, it was stolen from you, so go ahead and pay. You're a Shem HaSachar. So, must be talking about, that he would have claimed that it was stolen from me through armed bandits who forcefully stole from him, which that's the case of an oinis, so he would have exempted himself. Ukatani, and the Braisa tells us, that when later on they find the thief, that who does the kevel go to? It goes to the renter because he paid off for it. Shmamino, what we hear from this is a list of mizuin ganavu, that an armed bandit is like a ganav. Can we see that the halacha of kevel applies where this guy was making a tiny tiny ganav on list of mizuin? Because or else how was he trying to exempt himself? So you see, like Rav Yosef, that a list of mizuin is like a ganav. So Ami, they said, no. Misavit kreb Yehuda. Do you really think that this person is going like a Yehuda, the Amar Seicha Kenesis Sachar Dami, who says the halacha of a renter is like a Shemir Sachar? No. Dimakre Meir Sevile, maybe the time of this price holds like a Meir, the Amar Seicha Kenesis Mechinam Dami, holds that a renter is like a Shemir Mechinam. And therefore, he could have claimed that it was stolen from me by even unarmed bandits, which that would have exempted him, and he decided not to, and therefore, of course, there the halacha of Tain Sanz Ganev and Kefil applies by. Or if you want, you could say it's slightly different, that it could be like the Rabban had assumed that it was going like a Behuda, but it'd still be talking about an unarmed bandit. Because Kedemachlev Rabbi Ravu, it would be like Rabbi Ravu has switched around the attributions of opinions in Perka Seicha Sapailim, because Vitani, he learns that Seicha Ketz Mishalim, regarding this Machlek, is regarding how does a renter pay. It's Remeir Oimek Hashem Esacha. That's actually Remeir who says like Hashem Esacha. And Rabbi Huda Oimek Hashem Echin Rabbi Huda, he's that one who says like a Shemechinam. So even if you want to say the Brais like Rabbi Huda, but he holds that a Seicha is like a Shemechinam, and therefore a Shemechinam would be exempt on any Ganav, and it's on that he said, I could have exempted myself by saying it was stolen from me, even by an unarmed bandit, and therefore there's no right to Rabbi Yosef, because it's talking about Tain Tainas Ganav of Eina Mezuyin. We don't see anywhere that list of Mezuyin would be like a Ganav, because we're going like the Mando Amma that holds a Seicha is like a Shemechinam. Or another approach, Reb Zeira Amar, says another reason why it wouldn't support Rabbi Yosef is that you could say that truthfully is that, yes, you could even say the time that this Braisa is holding that a Seicha would be like a Shemir Sachar. And even so, it would not support Rav Yosef that there's kefil by list to mezuyim. Why? Because this that the Braisa taught us that there is going to be kefil over here, it really is because it ends up being the guy who had stolen it was an unarmed bandit. Now, but this that the Reisha said that he said, I'm not swearing, which sounds like that had he wanted to, he could have exempted himself by swearing. Hacha Mayaskina, what we're talking about over here is betoyin tainis list to mezuyim. You're right. His original claim was, and he's like a Shema Sacha, who's chayv on the regular Geneva, saying, if I wanted, I could have claimed that it was stolen from me from armed bandits, and therefore, I could have exempted myself. Now, however, but when they actually ended, he didn't swear. He ended up paying. So therefore, it's his. When they ended up finding the Ganav, it wasn't what he claimed that he would have said, which was a list of mezuyin. The nimtza list of she'ena mezuyin, it actually turns out to be that who had stolen it was unarmed bandits, which unarmed bandits are regular ganavim, which they have to pay kefil. And therefore, since the seicher already acquired the rights to the kefil because he paid for it, that's why he gets the kefil. But it's because it's actually not what he had said. The Gemara up until now assumed what he said he could have said was actually what ended up being, which then it would have sounded like either way. Is he claiming an einus because that's the only way he would get out of it? That must be that the list of mezuzah that ended up paying kefil is like a ganav. They were saying, no. What he said he could have said is actually not what really was. He's saying, look, I could have exempted myself by saying it's list of mezuyin. Well, that's a kind of einus. And then you say you find the ganavim who he said he could have exempted himself, that they're paying kefil. Obviously, list of mezuyin are ganavim. No. He was saying he could have made such a claim. He would have been exempt. But the reality is that they were actually list of mezuyin. So they're regular ganavim. They have to pay kefil. What he was claiming was something else, was a claim that it was armed bandits, which really was not what it was, and that's what he was trying to get off the hook with. But he said, I'm not going to swear, and I'm going to pay. And therefore, when it ends up being list of Mishayin and Mizuyin, then there's going to be kefil. But really, it could be not like Rav Yosef, that if they were really list of Mizuyin, like he was claiming he could have exempted himself, then actually they would not be paying kefil, because list of Mizuyin maybe are not like ganavim. Now the Gemara continues, explain the halacha of our Mishnah regarding the obligation of watching one's animal and the liability if something happens. So the Mishnah said, Naflu legina benenis. Let's say his animal was walking on an elevated plateau and it fell down into someone's garden and then the animal benefited. So Mishal Mashanenis, the owner of the animal, has to pay to the damaged party what he benefited through his animal. Now this halacha, Amar Rav, Rav explains this, that the Mishnah taught us he has to pay what he benefits. Is talking about benechvita, is when the animal had a bang. It fell down on the guy's produce, and he ended up ruining the guy's produce by his fall. Now, the animal benefited, and so to the animal of the owner, because now it didn't get injured when it fell onto that guy's ground. Had he didn't have the cabbage patch over there, he would have injured himself, but then he was saved by falling onto the cabbage. Now, the cabbage is ruined. So for the cabbage, he has to pay that amount because of what he gained, that the animal didn't get injured. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, but it sounds like from what Rav is saying, aval achla, but if let's say the animal ate when it fell down over into that guy's garden, sounds like afilah mashenenis eini mishalemis, that even what the animal benefited, that then the owner doesn't have to pay? Says the Gemara, lema Rav l'tamei, is this to say that it's going like Rav according to his reasoning? Because the Amar Rav, that we have, Rav had said, and this is on previous sugyan of Memzayin Mabez, which is regarding halacha of, let's say, someone that brings in his produce into his friend's courtyard without permission. So the Mishnah there teaches that if the animal of the homeowner gets injured because of these unauthorized produce that was brought into this guy's field, so the owner of that produce who brought it without permission is going to be liable for that damage. Now in that halacha, Rav explained and he qualified, he said that was only talking about where if the animal of the owner of the courtyard slipped on that produce. But if he ate that produce and therefore then it caused him to come ill, then the one who brought in the produce is going to be exempt. Why? Says Rav, the animal shouldn't have eaten. So therefore, that's not the responsibility of the owner of the produce. Slipping, the animal walks, that's a liability. But eating, it shouldn't have eaten. And therefore, if it eats and gets sick, that's not the liability, says Rav, of the owner of the produce. Now, ask the Gemara, seemingly, is that what Rav is saying over here too? That the owner of the animal will tell the owner of the garden that when the animal fell down, so that was something that was beyond my control because it fell. Now, so therefore I don't have to pay for the damage. Okay, what it benefited, fine. But so to regarding what it ate, it shouldn't have eaten. What could I have done? It was an inus. So it shouldn't have eaten. As we see, Rav such a logic. It shouldn't have eaten. What should I do? And that's why the owner is going to be exempt from that liability of what the animal ate. So Amri said, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two halachas of Rav? Eimer dam Rav Hassan. When did Rav say that concept over there? Hayulah shleitoich, that the animal shouldn't have eaten. That was heichad the isaske he. That was where the animal of the homeowner, of the one who owns the yard, where that animal got injured. Regarding the victim, the matzi amale married the pair, where the owner of the produce could tell the owner of the animal that ate, look, loy mishalmana, I'm not paying you. Hayulah shleitoich. For as a victim, it shouldn't have eaten. It's your animal's fault. But lazuke hi achrine, but when the animal, through its eating, injures others, damages others, the p'tur l'shlumi, to exempt the owner of that animal, mi amar, did Rav ever say that? This concept of hayu l'shleitechel actually is a reason for liability. So the one that's eating is at fault. So if the victim ate, so then there's no liability on the owner of the produce. But when the mazik, when this owner, his animal ate, it shouldn't have eaten, it's not a reason to be exempt, it's actually a reason to be liable. So El Rav says the Gemara, as we continue on top of Nanchesim and Aleph, loy meboya kama. It's that you don't have to say. In other words, loy meboya achla, Rav didn't have to say, regarding if this animal ate the produce into the garden that it fell into, of course the Mishalemis, where of course it's going to pay at least mashinenis, what it benefited. In other words, even though the owner was not negligent in watching it, because ultimately it was an einus that it fell in, but his animal benefited. Of course, there says Rav. I didn't have to tell you that that's the halacha that the owner has to pay mashinenis. But what Rav was teaching was avon nechveta, but regarding when the animal gets a bang. In other words, even regarding the damage, which is totally an einus, it just fell into the yard. Ema, I would say that actually the owner of the field was mavriach ari minichzich averuhu. The only thing that he was what's called in halachic literature, he was chasing away the lion, which means to say something that could have caused damage, from his friend's assets. Because what did he ultimately do? He saved his friend's animal, and now, by his cabbage patch, his friend's animal didn't get injured when it fell onto his ground. Now, essentially what he did was a mitzvah. Because he saved, which you have an obligation to chase away a lion when it's coming to ruin your friend's things. And therefore, just like when you perform a mitzvah, you don't take money. Here also, you shouldn't take money. And therefore, mashenenis namer loy mishalem. And therefore, even what the owner of the animal benefited by ruining this guy's crop when it fell into it, that he shouldn't have to pay. Because a mitzvah, you would have to expend money and effort and time to help me, which is to chase away a lion. Here also, essentially what you're doing is helping me by my animal not getting injured. And therefore, I shouldn't have to pay even what I benefited. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush that Rav was teaching, inherent even that, by nechveta, you have a halacha mishalemes mashenenis. But of course, it applies by chilatum. Now that the Gemara asks, but v'ei mahachinami, why don't you say that? Why don't you say that it's mavri chari and that he doesn't have to pay mashalemes mashenenis on the halacha of nechveta? So that the Gemara explains two components. First of all, mavri chari minichse chaveri midaituhu. When a guy's performing a mitzvah, chasing away a lion from his friend's assets, so that's done knowingly. And that's, yeah, he does it with his time and money and effort. Hi, love me, daite. This was done without his awareness. The animal just fell in. There you don't say the halachic concept of mavriach ari. Inami, another component is, mavriach ari minichsich averi lesli pseida. Generally, when a guy is chasing away a lion from his friend's stuff, there's no loss. He might not be gaining money because he might be taking away time from work to save the guy's stuff from the lion, but there's no loss. Hi, Yisleib say that here there's a loss where the guy fell and ruined his crop. Then we don't say the halacha concept of mavriach ari, and therefore that's why the Rav is teaching us the chiddush in the Mishnah that there even by not just by achila but even by nechveter there's going to be halacha mishalemes mashenenis. He has to pay what he benefited by his animal not getting injured by destroying that guy's crop that his animal fell on.